live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are not back in our studio inside Renaissance Bank on Windward Parkway in Alpharetta, but we're looking forward to that day. In the meantime, Renaissance is open and ready to serve you, but only if you're looking for personal service in a bank that's big enough to give you the kind of services that you want as a business, right? That's kind of a hard thing to get both of those things right at the same time sometimes, but I think Renaissance manages to do that, and I know that personally. If you like recorded voices and you like 1-800 numbers, don't switch. But if you are tired of that with your big bank, then my suggestion is go to renaissancebank.com, find their local office, and give them a call and make an appointment and go see them. And you'll actually be able to do that. And I think you'll be glad you did. That's been my experience, and I don't recommend folks that are here on this show that I'm not familiar with. So there you go. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Justin Alagian. And Justin is with Aprio. He's partner in charge. And subject of the day, PPP and ERC. Justin, welcome.
Thanks, John. Excited to be here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure having you. I've been looking forward to this to clear up what we need to know about PPP and other related aid items here that businesses can take advantage of. But before we get into that, why don't you give folks an overview of you and your firm?
Sure, thanks. I'll start first and foremost with the firm. Much like as you described Renaissance Bank, Aprio is a CPA-led business advisory firm that's big enough to provide the services that you need and support you from startup through exit and subsequently to the extent that that makes sense. We're comprised of over 700 team members with a physical footprint up and down the East Coast, serving clients in all 50 states and over 50 countries around the world. But we all do that with a personal touch and a personal service. And that's what got myself and our firm involved in the Paycheck Protection Program and these other COVID relief efforts. It was understanding that our clients had a need to keep their doors open, to keep people on payroll, and to figure out how to financially manage through the pandemic. Almost a year ago is when all this began.
Right.
Historically, I've been a partner in our audit practice. But as I looked at some of my clients and the situations they were dealing with, I went all in, as did many of our firm members, in these COVID relief programs. And so we spun up what was originally a Paycheck Protection Program team. It was about obtaining the funds and giving them to the hands of these businesses. Naturally, that shifted into planning and tracking for forgiveness. We thought it was an 8-week program, but here we are a year later and we're talking about it all over again. Mm-hmm. And that's continued to evolve over the course of the last year. And I now lead a team of over 50 professionals that are exclusively focused on supporting businesses and financial institutions in navigating the Paycheck Protection Program and then maximizing the benefits of other COVID relief programs. And I'm sure we'll talk about that as we go throughout this conversation.
Yeah, for sure. That's quite a team there. 50 team members in Aprio that are focused exclusively on this effort. That says something about the complexity involved with the process, right?
It sure does. Between complexity of the program, right? I don't know many people that are up on a Friday night waiting for SBA guidance. I hate to admit it, but I'm certainly one of them. And so keeping up with the changes of the program and its complexities as it continues to evolve is of utmost importance. And then understanding that in providing services of this nature and providing the care and attention to our clients that's required in navigating this process, albeit it's March 15th, it's the middle of tax season. So trying to dual focus on maintaining certain existing relationships and services from a recurring standpoint, while providing the astute care and confidence that is required in these other programs, required a specialized team that exclusively focuses on this. And that's what we've done here at Apria.
Now, Justin, let's set the table here just a little bit, briefly, for those that maybe, you know, people are busy in their businesses, you say, trying to keep things afloat sometimes, you know, that there are just the series of relief programs and what all that looks like, what's open, what's closed. Let's set the table there.
Sure. So we'll talk about some of the, I'll call it the primary business related programs, and then we can explore some of them in further detail. Of course, there's the Paycheck Protection Program. It seems that it's never ending. It started with the CARES Act on March 27th, continues on into current day, in which we're looking at now what many call as PPP 2 or sometimes PPP 3, but opportunities for second draw loans. Then we've got the Employee Retention Credit, often misunderstood or overlooked, certainly worth spending some time discussing that one. Huge opportunity for qualifying businesses. And then we've got a few others that have come about or been enhanced a little bit later on in the process, later on all being relative, given that we've only been in this environment for about a year. But we have provider relief funds for our medical practices. We have the Shuttered Venues Operators Grant that still hasn't placed any funds yet in the hands of businesses, but that was generated in December of 2020. And then just last week, with this latest stimulus bill, we now have the Restaurant Revitalization Fund, what is obviously desperately needed by businesses in that particular arena. And that provides another $28.6 billion to support the hospitality group. So a lot of different programs to be looking at as we think about COVID relief programs. It's understanding the nuances and the complexities and the convergence between all of them to maximize the benefits that becomes of utmost importance.
Yeah, that latter part you mentioned there is really important, right? Because, you know, you could trip yourself up in one of these programs because of participation in multiple programs, right?
That's correct. And even those have continued to change. It's understanding where we are at any point in time. The obvious example here, as we talk about the Paycheck Protection Program and the Employee Retention Credits, ERC, they both started with the CARES Act back in March 27th of 2020. It wasn't until December 27th of 2020, when the Consolidated Appropriations Act was signed into law, that the same business could utilize both programs. We're now seeing some changes again as a result of the American Rescue Plan Act, where the Shuttered Venues Grant had some restrictions about its use and eligibility for a grant in 2021 and PPP in 2021. That changed just a week ago. So keeping up with the changes of how these programs work together is, at a minimum, a full-time job.
It requires a team of about 50 people, right? So, yeah, I could, and it's easy to understand why that you've thrown the resources you have at your firm at it. For sure. Folks, we're here chatting with Justin Lajan. Justin is partner in charge of PPP and ERC services at Aprio. Let's talk about PPP for a second. So we're in the so-called second round PPP. Talk about where all that is at the moment as we record this here mid-March 2021. Where are we at this point?
John, I love that you did that. This is what I do on every one of the webinars that I speak on when it relates to PPP, is sometimes it's not even a date, but a timestamp that becomes of importance of how frequently this program seems to change. So yep. As we look at that, though, being in middle of March, and I'll give some parameters around the statistics here as we are with PPP. This is as of March 11th of 2021, as we speak about some of this data on loan origination. For 2021 loans, there's been about 2.5 million loans that have been approved so far. this calendar year that approximates about $165 billion. Now, that's a little bit surprising because the program opened up to all participating lenders on January 19th with an allotment of about $285 billion. Many thought in 4 weeks, maybe six, these funds would have been exhausted. But here we are about 60 days later, and there's still $120 billion available from that initial allotment. And then just last week, from the American Rescue Plan Act, they added another $7.25 billion. So we're putting more money into a pot that still has some excess left over. So what we'll see with origination and what we're anticipating now is that the SBA's process currently, as of middle of March here, is that March 31 is the last day they'll approve a 2021 loan. But I bet by the time we get to the end of this week that we'll see that that has been extended to May 31st or later to allow for these other businesses to take advantage of the funds that have already been made available. Now, forgiveness, another story. A lot of lenders had paused on accepting forgiveness applications in early 2021 as there were some changes to the application and the portals to accommodate the Consolidated Appropriations Act, which was signed into law into the end of December and had some modifications to all PPP loans, not just those originated in 2021. And so as a result, there's been a bit of a slowdown there on the forgiveness front. But mid-March, we're seeing that about 39% of loans have completed the forgiveness process. So that's about 2 million of the 5.2 million loans that were originated in 2020. So I think that's certainly a promising statistic to see is forgiveness is real. It's happening. We're more than a third of the way through. And out of those 39% of loans that have made it through the process, over 99.7% of the funds that have been requested for forgiveness have been granted. So you get some really high statistics on forgiveness requests and approvals for the loans that we're seeing thus far. But I do think as we get into some changes with the retention credit, we may see a bit of a slowdown here as we look and approach Q2 of 2021.
So just to be clear on this, so what's opened right now for PPP is for its second round PPP for those that got a loan in the original time window last year after the CARES Act was passed. But there's also an opportunity for those that did not get in last year to have their opportunity for the first round PPP, correct?
That's right. It's going to apply to businesses that did not obtain a loan previously. There's certain organizations that were not eligible in 2020 that now are. Certain types of not-for-profits are eligible. In fact, they even expanded on that last week by making some larger not-for-profit organizations eligible based on some defined criteria on size of their workforce and how that's being analyzed. And then they also made substantially all 501Cs, so all types of not-for-profit organizations eligible to the extent that they don't exceed a particular threshold on lobbying. So second draws as well as first draws are currently available for with the funding that's there. And there's some discussion here as we look forward that a business may actually be able to obtain two PPP loans, their first and their second in 2021, something that we have not seen before, but that should be forthcoming here as a result of this latest stimulus bill.
Really? So if folks need to stay alert. If they got left out last year, they're just lurking on first round PPP. They may have a shot at a second round themselves.
That's correct.
Folks, that's worth giving Justin a call right there. So I'm sure there's some folks that think they lost out. So there's that. If I'm looking for forgiveness for my first round PPP loan and the bank has shut the portal down, understandably, because the rules are changing. Should I be worried?
No. In fact, I think it emphasizes what we're advising our clients anyway. And here's why. The order of the thought process and the order in which one should conduct that currently. If you've already obtained your PPP loan, as you're mentioning here, think about whether or not you're eligible and have the appetite, for that matter, for a second. Right? There's only a period of time in which there's going to be funding available and a period of time in which approvals can take place. So that becomes first on the list. Then the second one that's going to come into play is evaluating the employee retention credit. We'll get into that further, but the reason that becomes second is because it's also driven based on wages. And you can't use the same wages for forgiveness that you want to utilize to claim your credits. And so you need to have your strategy in place as to how you plan to use those wages in 2020 and for which program before you apply for forgiveness. Mm. And that's why naturally then step three is going to be thinking about forgiveness on my 2020 loan.
Okay, so let's go there. I was thinking we needed to get through PPP and then talk about employee retention credit, but there obviously you made the nice point to me without telling me. Thank you for that. That hey, John, they're all together here, so we got to talk about them together. So, employee retention credit or ERC is something that there hasn't been a lot of attention about. We've heard a lot about PPP loans, first round, second round. You know, ERCs are something we heard less about. So why don't you explain what we're talking about there?
Sure. So the employee retention credit in and of itself, it's a refundable payroll tax credit. So refundable payroll tax credit is important for a couple of reasons. One, everybody likes the word refundable. So that's great news. But payroll tax credit means not-for-profits are also eligible. It means that if you're generating losses as a business and maybe other credits are just carry forwards, you can't realize them now. That's not this. This is a payroll tax credit. So that has some significant meaning and impacts in and of itself. As we look at the retention credit, I think where I always like to start of driving importance and awareness, despite the fact that this program was generated from the CARES Act back on March 27th of 2020. It was late January of 2021 when the IRS issued a press release. And what they said, and I'm going to quote this here for you, John, The Internal Revenue Service urges employers to take advantage of the newly extended employee retention credit designed to make it easier for businesses that, despite challenges posed by COVID-19, chose to keep their employees on the payroll. That to me speaks volumes when you see a press release from the IRS urging employers to take advantage of dollars that they would ordinarily be the recipients of.
Sure. Yeah, because the IRS is famous for saying they don't give tax advice, right? So, that's fascinating. And what you're saying here is that this is a better for most businesses, most organizations, I'll put it that way. It's a better opportunity for them to look at ERC and claiming those wages for ERC versus PPP.
It's really in conjunction with one another.
Okay.
And the reason being is forgiveness of a wage for PPP is a dollar for dollar forgiveness, right? 100 cents. As you look at the retention credits and some of the criteria that's there, for purposes of evaluating 2020, the credit is worth 50% of up to $10,000 of qualified wages per employee. So that's 50 cents on the dollar, yes, not as valuable as PPP. But if you strategize properly, we're talking a $5,000 credit or up to $5,000 per employee for 2020. If you build the right strategy on how you're going to utilize the wages and that you're an eligible employer. Mm. Where this really takes a big turn and why the attention seems to be shifting is that not only are PPP recipients now eligible to claim these credits, but with this, the last two stimulus bills, that each of which expanded the retention credit, it's now worth up to $7,000 per employee per quarter in 2021. So when you look at this program all in, start to finish, of what opportunity may exist, you're looking at a potential refundable payroll tax credit of up to $33,000 per employee. And that's in addition to PPP, if you're able to build the right strategies on how you utilize the wages for which purpose and which program.
Wow. And this, just to be clear, this, you're eligible for this regardless of whether you got a PPP loan or not. You're eligible for this credit.
So eligibility won't be defined based on PPP. That's correct, John. That's a change that we saw at the end of December.
Okay.
Before they were mutually exclusive, but that's no longer. So eligibility, and here's where we see a lot of confusion. Eligibility, which is evaluated on a quarterly basis in conjunction with when we're going to claim the respective credits, is meeting one of two criteria. And I think that's a really important thing. It's either or, not an and here. The first criteria is a business that experienced a significant decline in gross receipts. And that's evaluated either for 2020 or 2021, both compared back to 2019. And the thresholds are, can be relatively high. It's a 50% reduction as you're looking at it for 2020. For 2021, they lowered the bar a little bit. It's a 20% reduction. But that still doesn't apply to necessarily all businesses. In fact, it doesn't apply to a lot of businesses. Certainly hospitality and others that were shut down for significant periods of time, they'll meet the significant decline. But where we're seeing a ton of businesses qualify here, even those that have increases in revenue, is the second criteria, which is a business that was fully or partially suspended due to orders from the federal, state, or local government limiting commerce, travel, or group meetings related to COVID-19. I'll go ahead and explain that one, John, because I know the question would be forthcoming, is what does that mean?
Yep. You read my mind, Justin.
So what happens here? This is how do I know if that's me?
Yep.
Sounds like it. I know I've been impacted by COVID, but I wasn't closed. The full suspension, we can identify, right? You were closed.
Mm-hmm.
A lot easier to identify that one. This partial suspension, though, is a really big opportunity. And what that means is that the business can still continue to operate with some, but not all of its normal operations. Normal being pre-COVID state. And so understanding how much of a pivot, and I use that term intentionally, how much of a pivot was required to continue to operate my business is defined as it being more than nominal. That doesn't mean a substantial component. It may not even be a material component of your business. It's a more than nominal component of the business operations were suspended or otherwise altered in order to be eligible for the credit. And where we see this come into play is everywhere, including essential businesses. So I want to be really clear here. If you continued to run the business but had to make significant changes, that's going to apply. And I'll give an example of that. But it also comes into play in the flow and the chain of commerce. So what that means is if my supplier of my product couldn't deliver the materials I need for me to do my job because they were shut down, I'm going to qualify.
Mm.
Certainly, if I was shut down, I'm going to qualify. And if my customers were shut down, I'm also going to qualify. So there's a lot of different ways to get to this eligibility criteria, essential or not. And that now provides this opportunity to capitalize on this huge refundable payroll tax credit.
So, Justin, what is the most likely way folks are going to get tripped up? I mean, what's the biggest thing they need to worry about as, when it comes to navigating the intersection of these programs and making sure they advantage themselves as much as they possibly can?
Great question. I'm actually going to give you two ways in which that comes into play. I think it's not understanding that the programs are even available to them. That is by far the biggest way to trip you up, is you never got far enough to do the analysis and realize the opportunity right in front of you. But once you've gotten that covered up, now it's understanding, how do I do this properly? How do I maximize the value of the respective programs? One way is rushing to forgiveness. Is, I want this loan, right? It's still a loan until it's forgiven. I want it off my books. And we hear that a lot from business owners or other stakeholders of businesses that just want to be done with this, especially before it changes again and again and again. So it's having patience. Patience is super important here, and not rushing to forgiveness without understanding all the opportunities that are available. And then it's understanding how to build the right strategy. It's not just finding the time periods in which a business was eligible and bifurcating the wages that way. This is going through the data and working closely, likely with an advisor that's going to support you in doing so, that understands the nuances, how to split John's payroll from Justin's payroll for the same week to make sure that I'm utilizing each of the respective wages to optimize the benefits of both programs. And that just takes a lot of attention to detail, a lot of understanding of the strategy, a lot of understanding of the programs. And so, John, I think the biggest way to get tripped up is not understanding all of the nuances and complexities, and then not aligning yourself with someone who does.
You know, I'm going to say it because I say it a lot on the show, and Justin's too nice to say it, is if you're doing it yourself, you're making a big mistake, folks. That's where you'll get tripped up. Justin just said that in a nice way, whether it's Aprio or some other firm that has dug into this, you need to have a smart advisor that can help you through this. So let's get to that point, Justin. So someone comes to you and says, okay, I give up. I need help. How do you work with someone to kind of go through? And of course, you're picking them up midstream in all this. So how do you walk through what needs to be done?
Sure. So great question. We go through it in really what I'll call, I'll oversimplify it here. I'm going to make it into four stages of how we go through our process and what that looks like. Starting with developing the project plan, right? Let's get a lay of the land. Let's understand the players. Let's understand the decisions that are made and what's driving the business in and of itself. Because all of the decisions that we're going to make, whether it's PPP, whether it's ERC or any other program, and frankly, anything else that we're going to do as we're working with a business, needs to support the overall business objectives. That comes first and foremost. These are to be utilized as a support mechanism in getting there. So understanding that project plan and working with the right folks, and understanding that it's about achieving the intended objectives when we're done. Then we go through the process of understanding, what are you eligible for? And we do conduct a kind of a comprehensive analysis based on the situation and the facts and circumstances of the respective business to kind of get a lay of the land here, and then identify where we have opportunities that we want to further explore. Once we've done so, we really look at costs and wage utilization. What levers can I pull or push to figure out how I want to navigate each of the programs, both individually and then most importantly, in the aggregate? Once we've kind of laid all that out, Now it's about capitalizing. Filing tax forms if it's claiming the employee retention credit, supporting a business and ensuring that they have all the supporting documentation to apply for forgiveness, and making sure that this is a comforting, confident, and as stress-free as possible experience, and working their way to maximizing the benefits of the COVID relief programs.
That sounds like a lot of relief right there. Just the process you're talking about and how that, boy, that takes a lot of strain off the business owner. I can imagine there's some businesses that are thinking, boy, that sounds awfully involved, and I'm not sure if I'm big enough to take advantage of that. Why don't you address the sizes of customers that you work with?
Sure. So we're working with businesses, and if you think about this from an ERC or the PPP perspective, you only need one employee. So some of these are still going to find value, right? Up to $5,000 per employee for 2020 just on ERC, and $7,000 per employee per quarter. So the benefit can be significant. What's interesting as we get to this with ERC and what we're looking at with our client base and who we're supporting here is the retention credit, unlike the PPP, has no limitation based on size of a business. So even we've got some public companies we're working with that are taking advantage of the employee retention credit. Minimum of one employee, there's no limit on the top side.
Wow. Now, and so even for, let's say, those folks that are self-employed, there's opportunity here as well.
Self-employed will come into play depending on this organizational structure of the business. Mm-hmm. So the one employee still must file a payroll tax form in order to be able to claim a payroll tax credit. So there needs to be at least one employee on W-2. It kind of depends on the way that the business was structured. As if it's a self-employed business, no employees, they're just filing it within their personal income tax return, they don't have that payroll tax form. But maybe if they're set up as an S corporation, for example, then they may pay themselves via W-2. So there may be opportunities, even when there's one employee, all going back to how they were established organizationally as a business.
Again, folks, just another reason why large, medium, or small, you need to have an advisor and get with them and check this out. And if you don't have one now, maybe Justin and his team could help you. And now we're going to get to the most important question, which is for those that need to get in touch, let's tell them how they can do that, Justin.
Sure. So a couple of pieces of our locations.
Sure.
I'll spell my name because it's certainly not the easiest to follow. But you can find me on LinkedIn. We're always posting updates, and that's always helpful, even if you're just looking for the education. First name, Justin. Last name, Elangins, spelled Elangian. I'd also encourage visiting our blog. Mm-hmm. As Aprio, we can sign up for newsletters and alerts. You'll get very familiar with my name, given the frequency in which these programs change as we put out communications to update our network every time that happens. And so visiting our blog is aprio.com/what's next. That's our slogan here at Aprio, what's next, as we're always thinking about what is the next opportunity for our clients and how do we help get them there.
Justin Langen, folks, the guy that sits up on Friday night looking at updates on from the SBA, so you don't have to. I love that, Justin. This has been great. Thanks so much for being with us. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me, John.
Folks, if you need some other help in your business, if you need some angels that can spend time on things you shouldn't be spending time on, like administrative tasks or bookkeeping or other issues in your business that are taking up your time and keeping you from making sales, my suggestion is go to officeangels.us and check out their services there. And but better yet, give the chief executive angel there, Essie Escobedo, a call and explain your problem. And she will come up with a solution that involves sending in an angel or two, maybe, to fly in, get the job done, and fly out. And they do it on an ongoing or as needed basis. And again, I don't mention anybody on this show that I don't use. I use her services, and they're terrific. I couldn't do what I do in my business without them. So give Essie a call at 770-442-9246 and tell her I sent you, and you'll be glad you did. And folks, as we wrap up here, just a reminder that you can find this show on all the major podcast apps. North Fulton Business Radio is a search term, and I would appreciate it if you would go find the show on your app and subscribe to it, but more importantly, give us a 5-star review. I'm asking for that review, not just for me, not just for Business Radio X. I'm asking for our guests, because the more we get folks to rate the show well, it means others that need the services of great business professionals like Justin can find the show. And find Justin, connect with him and others that we've had on this show over 600 guests we've had over the last 5 years on this show. So if you could do that, I would appreciate it. We're also on social media as well, North Fulton BRX on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So for my guest, Justin Alengian, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.